श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयहं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम बैक टू आवर भक्तिशास्त्री कोर्स नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन। नाउ वी आर गोइंग टू स्टार्ट आवर डिस्कशन ऑन द 64 आइटम्स ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस दैट हैव बीन एनलिस्टेड बाय रूप गोस्वामी। सो एज वी हैव डिस्कस्ड रिपीटेडली द वर्स नाना शास्त्र विचारनैक निपुणौ सद्धर्म संस्थापकौ। सो सद्धर्म संस्थापकौ, सो रूप गोस्वामी वॉन्टेड टू एस्टैब्लिश सत्धर्म। नाउ सत्धर्म मीन्स द ट्रू धर्म इज प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस। सो ही हैज टॉक्ड अबाउट इट टिल नाउ अबाउट हाउ इट इज ग्लोरियस इन टर्म्स ऑफ इट्स सिक्स कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स। ही हैज टॉक्ड अबाउट हाउ इट इज ग्लोरियस इन टर्म्स ऑफ इट बींग इंडिपेंडेंट एंड हाउ इट इज ग्लोरियस इन टर्म्स ऑफ इट कैन नॉट बी obtained by anything else, it has to be obtained by bhakti itself, by devotion coming from a devotee's mercy. So that way he has talked about the glory of bhakti. In many ways we can say this analysis, foregoing analysis, has established the supremacy of bhakti, and bhakti is superior to liberation, bhakti gives supreme freedom from misery, bhakti is not dependent on any other process. So all this is the glory of bhakti. Now Rupa Goswami is starting to talk about how to practice bhakti. So in this there will not be much philosophical analysis, but it will be statement and scripture establishing statement. For example, if Rupa Goswami says okay we should do this, then he will give some scriptural references to tell why this is the scripture saying this, we should do this. For example, say we should accept the garlands that have been offered to the Lord and cherish them as the prasad of the Lord. Then he will use a quote from Uddhav Gita where Uddhava is saying this to Lord Krishna. So like that, when Prabhupada uses the word evidences regarding devotional service, what he means is the word evidence means scriptural evidence. So the principle is given by Rupa Goswami, the particular item of devotional service, and then from various scriptures he has given the references to support that principle. So now what does it mean? It means that actually bhakti has been practiced for a long, long time, and what Rupa Goswami is doing is not something new. He is compiling the items of bhakti together so that for us sadhakas we will know what all we can, how we can practice bhakti. Now we will see as we move forward through these items how Srila Prabhupada has incorporated many of these items within the Krishna consciousness movement. Now there are elements of bhakti and there are the items of bhakti, and there are some items which are extremely important, the five potent forms of devotional service, and those Srila Prabhupada has incorporated very emphatically in ISKCON. So not all the 64 items we will be able to practice with equal frequency, but the idea is that the more we are able to practice, the more we will, that means these are all avenues by which we can connect with Krishna. Okay, this is also an item by which you can connect with Krishna. This is also an item by which you can, like that, there are many, many items by which you can connect with Krishna. So, let's look at these items now. So, he starts with Guru Padashraya. Yeah. So, here we'll see. Taking shelter of the spiritual master. Now actually if you see, the first five items are almost related with the same point. They are progressive. I'll explain the sequence, the progression in them, and then we will discuss each of them. Guru Padashraya means going to a guru and taking shelter of the feet of the guru. Then after we take shelter of the guru, Shri Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. That means one gets initiation from the guru and then starts getting shiksha, starts learning from the spiritual master in a more systematic way. And then we are not just meant to learn from the spiritual master, we are also meant to serve the spiritual master, and serve the spiritual master with reverence, with great respect. So, and with affection come reverence. So Vishrambhena. Vishrambhena means affection and reverence, Guru Seva. And then Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam. Now Sadhu refers to, now we have the common Guru Sadhu Shastra tripod. So sadhu refers to other acharyas apart from the spiritual master. So we are to follow not just the spiritual master. Vartamanu vartanam. Vartamanu means vartama is ama vartamanu vartante. Krishna has used this phrase in the Bhagavad Gita also twice. So Vartama is path, anuvartante, anuvartanam is to follow according to path. So, to follow in the footsteps of the saintly people. That means we learn from others also, not just the spiritual master. And then saddharma pruchha means we inquire about the principles of religion. And we ask questions to the spiritual master, and that's how we learn. So, these are the five items. So, Srila Prabhupada gives the, these are the Sanskrit which are given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada, in his format of summary study, generally doesn't go into the Sanskrits too much, just like in Krishna book also, he doesn't quote the Sanskrit verses. Even when he doesn't quote the Sanskrit verses for the 10th canto itself, and even when he is giving references to substantiate some of the points which he is making in his interspersed comments, he doesn't generally quote the Sanskrit over there. Summary study, Prabhupada keeps things simple for the, and accessible for the people. So here, to help us gain a clearer understanding, to help us get a proper perspective, I'm also giving the Sanskrit from based on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And let's look at the items as Srila Prabhupada has described it based on Rupa Goswami's list. So here we'll see. So let's look at this quickly. Accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So now here we will see one aspect of Srila Prabhupada, that when Prabhupada gives the translations of those verses, he actually integrates the translation and the purport. So if you look at the translation of 11.3.21, it's a very short translation, and this also helps us understand how Srila Prabhupada is working. Let's try to understand this quickly. It's an interesting exercise for us to understand Srila Prabhupada's compassion. So this is... So this is the translation. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of a bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusion of scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material conceits, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. So actually, this is the 11th Natasana. If you look at the original Sanskrit, this is also an elaborate translation. So if you look at the Sanskrit, it says Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta, therefore surrender to Guru, Tasmad. Now Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. Jigyasu, a person who is inquiring. And what is the person inquiring about? Not just ordinary things. What is the cricket score? What is the price of the stock? What is the rate of the stock market? What is the price of the vegetables? No, Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. Long term, the ultimate good. Shreya refers to long term or ultimate. And Uttama is, Tama is darkness. Uttama is that which is beyond darkness, that which is transcendental. Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. Shabde Pare Chanishnatam. And what kind of guru should that be? Shabde Pare. That the Nishnatam, that in the transcendental words, is Nishnatam, is expert, is perfectly knowledgeable in the transcendental words. And Brahmanya Upasamashrayam. Is not only learned in the scripture, but is also Upasamashrayam, has taken shelter of the Brahman platform. That means as Upasamashrayam is Upasam Ashrayam, is detached from material things and is attached to the Supreme Lord. So now this is the Sanskrit. It's such a short verse, we can say. But let's look at understand Srila Prabhupada's compassion, in which he is elaborately explaining, integrating translation and purport together. So what does Prabhupada say? This is a conversation between Prabuddha and Maharaj Nimi. My dear king, please know for certain that in the material world there is no happiness. It is simply a mistake to think that there is happiness, because this place is full of nothing but miserable conditions. So now all this, now we may say, where is all this in the translation? in the verse, if we look at the verse over there, there's nothing like this, no happiness in the material world and everything. So what is it? Actually, it is all Srila Prabhupada's purport of this word, tasmat. Tasmat. So, therefore, take shelter of the Guru. What does therefore mean? It's like we have athato. We have athato brahma jikyasa. So, what does athato mean? So, Srila Prabhupada explains athato to me. Now, inquire about Brahman. So, what does now refer to? Prabhupada explains that now that we've got a human form of life, now inquire about Brahman. So like that, Srila Prabhupada is incorporating this lot of philosophical substance in unpacking even every word. And in because it's a summary study, so Srila Prabhupada's focus is on giving what is necessary for the audience. So he takes the scripture and he integrates the translation and the purport in a way that expresses the compassion of his heart by sharing with us what we need to know. So most people may think that, oh, why should I have a guru? It's a fashion to have a guru. No. To go to a guru, if we seriously want to benefit from the guru, then we understand that actually this world is a place of misery. And at a material level, the misery cannot be rectified. If I want to rectify the misery, then I have to rise to the transcendental level. So tasmat, therefore. Srila Prabhupada unpacks tasmat as that there is no happiness in the material world and it is simply a mistake to think that there is happiness here. Because this place is full of nothing but miserable conditions. And then, tasmad, he moves forward. Any person who is seriously desirous of achieving real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. So, tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. So, jigyasu shreya uttamam. What is the jigyasu shreya? Of Prabhupada, desirous of achieving realist happiness. Jigyasu shreya uttamam. And prapadyeta, Prabhupada translated that, take shelter of him by initiation. Now, shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upasamashram. Let's see how Srila Prabhupada translate this now. Or rather, he translates and comments in a combined way over here. The qualification of a spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of scriptures by deliberation and thus be able to convince others of these conclusions. So, shabde parecha nishnatam. So, shabde parecha nishnatam, Prabhupada translates as two things. Realize the conclusions and capable of convincing others of those conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, brahmanya upasama, brahmanya, taking shelter of the Supreme Godhead, upasama ashram, giving up all other things. Leaving aside all material considerations are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. Everyone should try to find such a bona fide spiritual master in order to fulfill his mission of life, which is to transfer himself to the plane of spiritual bliss. So much Srila Prabhupada is giving us. What is the mission of human life? To transfer oneself to the plane of spiritual bliss. Then now, after that, Srila Prabhupada goes into explaining, again, he's looking at the context. Nectar of Devotion is a book which was written 500 years ago. And Srila Prabhupada is translating it not just in terms of the language, he is translating it in terms of the context also. You know, today there is a situation where there are so many people who claim to be gurus and so many people who easily get misled. So therefore Srila Prabhupada translates in his explanations, he talks about the qualification of a bona fide guru and how a guru, one should select a properly qualified guru and not an unqualified guru. So this is Srila Prabhupada's comment about the first element, Guru Pada Ashraya. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us firstly, you know, why one should take shelter of Guru. Rupa Goswami is simply giving the item, take shelter of Guru. But first he says, why? Because this world is a place of misery and the Guru can show us the way out of misery. Then he's telling also, what is the kind of Guru that we should take shelter of? So Guru Pada Ashraya. So why take ashraya and what is the guru? And that also Prabhupada describes. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada unpacks that for us. And then after unpacking it, then he moves on to the next item. Now what Srila Prabhupada has done over here is, Rupa Goswami has just given Guru Pada Ashraya and after that he simply said, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta. He gives this as an example. Okay, this is the word, this is the item and this is the reference, this is the example for it. And Prabhupada elaborates further for our understanding. Now after that, Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. Sri Krishna Diksha. So there one has to take Diksha. And then Shikshanam. One has to learn from him. So actually our parampara is primarily a Shiksha parampara. Now if we look at the history of our sampradaya, Rupa Goswami himself, there is no mention in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or any of the other literature like that, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did a fire sacrifice to initiate Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Actually, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami first corresponded with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They asked him, we are trapped in such a miserable situation where we have to serve mlechhas. How can we be delivered? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was moved by the sincerity evident in their letters. And while going to North India, he came to Ramakeli. And they came at night, secretly to meet him, and they surrendered their life to him. Jiva Goswami was their nephew, little Jiva at that time. He also came secretly, and he saw how, with complete humility and utter surrender, his uncles offered themselves to the feet of Lord Chaitanya. So, that way, basically, Rupa and Sanatan, they surrendered at that time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually traveling with his associates on Haridam Sankirtan. So there was no content, no place over there for him to do any Diksha. And then after that, when did he meet him? He met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami in Varanasi and that area when he was in North India, and they had left home and came. And then again, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami once came to Puri when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving. So they came, like that, there were a few meetings. That's for all the meetings that were there. But what happened? They completely offered their heart and life to Lord Chaitanya just based on these meetings. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave elaborate instructions in Varanasi to these two great souls, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So basically, the Diksha was more in the heart, and then there was Shiksha, there was transmission of instruction. So now, the essence is Shiksha. But that essence of Shiksha is formalized so that both parties become aware of the seriousness of what is happening. So for us, we Srila Prabhupada and before him Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Thakur had proper Diksha ceremonies where fire sacrifice is done and the spiritual master, the disciple comes forward and takes vows, and the guru gives a new name. All this is done. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, gave a new name to them. So in that sense, we could say that that was the Diksha for them. So what is the important point is Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. So Diksha Adi Shikshanam. So the Shikshana is important, and in that, Diksha is also included. So Diksha is like the formalization so that Shiksha can go on. Just like anybody can learn from anywhere. But if a student registers in a university, enrolls in a university, then that formalizes the education. So that now the student has officially entered into the university, has become a properly registered student, and now the student is expected to learn. Now, of course, the infrastructure of the institute is also available to help the student in learning. So similarly, Diksha is like the formal entry into the university. And with respect to our current situation, we have Srila Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples initiating. The spiritual master is, there are different ways to understand this. The spiritual master is like the person who guides us into the university. And he will act like one of our primary teachers. But he is not the only teacher in the university. In the university, there are many teachers. And they all help us to learn. So this is, we are now discussing something about Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam, which is one of the later items. We'll come to that. But this university example is important to understand that actually our formal connection with we are not just connecting with the Guru. In the history of ISKCON, there have been issues. Sometimes disciples have become fanatical about their Guru. And they think, my Guru is the best Guru. And they try to drag other people to take initiation from their Guru. But actually, that guru is like a professor in a university. And ultimately, what is going to elevate people is not just affiliation with a particular guru. What is going to elevate people is graduation from the university. Graduation from the university. So what we have to recognize is, yes, our spiritual master will be our primary guide, and it is very important that we try to serve and please him and imbibe his mood and learn from him properly. But along with that, it's also important that we learn the proper understanding. We can't divorce the guru from the sampradaya. The guru is representing the sampradaya, and the sampradaya has many representatives, even in our times as well as in the past and in the future. So we learn from all of them, and in that way move forward. So diksha is a part of shiksha. Krishna diksha di shikshanam. And initiation is extremely important, because that is the time when we make a vow, a serious vow, that this is the way I'm going to follow these principles. I'm going to chant 16 rounds like that. So it's very important. By no means is it to be undermined. But at the same time, we shouldn't assume that diksha is everything. And this also can help us to make sense of another unfortunate, even heartbreaking situation that happens sometimes with the devotees. Sometimes some spiritual masters have difficulties in their spiritual life, and they may not be able to continue their service of guru. So what happens that time? Some devotees may just lose, I thought my spiritual master is a pure devotee, and then he has had difficulties, and then maybe the process of pure devotion doesn't work, the process of devotional service doesn't work, all of his con is bogus, so everything is nonsense. And then what happens is people just lose faith, and often sometimes they go on a rampage of accusation and blasphemy, and there's no need for such a thing. Now we have to Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas also talks about it. It's possibility. Even the Mahabharata talks about it. Of sometimes even the acharya, the spiritual master, can succumb to improper behavior. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has talked about it. So it's not that it's something that can never occur. It can occur, and the acharyas and the shastras have recognized that possibility, and then they have told us how to deal with it. So they say that generally we should stay in the community of devotees. If it is possible that we can help the spiritual master has done a lot for us in the past, and if we can help the spiritual master to in the journey back to Krishna, well and good. If we can't, then we continue our journey to Krishna with the guidance of other Vaishnavas. So the spiritual master is connecting us to Krishna by connecting us with the sampradaya that is connected with Krishna. So the spiritual master does not monopolize our connection with Krishna. So with respect to, with respect to the current ISKCON situation, Srila Prabhupada is our link with the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and Srila Prabhupada's mercy manifests in three ways to us. So Srila Prabhupada's mercy manifests as our guru, our Diksha Guru, who may be his disciple, grand disciple, and in future generations it will go on. Then Srila Prabhupada's mercy also manifests through his books. That is how we are getting Shiksha. So Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all of ISKCON. Every devotee in ISKCON, in every generation, is connected with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru. He is the founder Acharya, and he is the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all devotees. So every devotee is connected with Srila Prabhupada through his books. And along with that, we are all connected with Srila Prabhupada through the sadhus he has given us. That is the body of devotees in ISKCON in general, and especially the GBC. Srila Prabhupada instituted ISKCON in such a way that GBC is the primary governing authority. And all these three are actually, so all these three are coming from Srila Prabhupada. So all these three are manifestations of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and that is how we are all connected with the parampara. So in one sense, for us, we could say it is not limiting, but in one sense understanding is Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So for us, we have our spiritual master, then Srila Prabhupada's books of the Shastra, and the GBC and the body of devotees in ISKCON are the sadhus. So that is one way of understanding it. Of course, the previous acharyas are also sadhus, and there can be Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are outside ISKCON also, and they may also be very advanced souls, and they may also be very learned, and we should also respect them. So just because they are not a part of ISKCON doesn't mean that we should respect them. And sometimes they may have certain philosophical positions and certain practical stands which are different from what Srila Prabhupada has given us. So we don't have to we don't have to offend them because they are holding different positions. We understand that, you know, they are serving Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a mood different from what Srila Prabhupada has taught us. So therefore, we respect them from a distance. We respect them from a distance and we follow Srila Prabhupada. It is by Srila Prabhupada's mercy that the name of Krishna actually spread far and wide all over the world. And had it not been for Srila Prabhupada, we would not have been introduced to Krishna consciousness. So, we are forever indebted to Srila Prabhupada. At the same time, this is not a limiting thing. We recognize that there can be other Vaishnavas, there can be other Gaudiya Vaishnavas also, and they can be in good standing. But because their mood is different from Srila Prabhupada, so therefore, we don't focus on them. We focus on Srila Prabhupada's representatives as a manifesting to us. So this is how we are getting Shiksha. So, Shri Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. And by taking shelter of the process of bhakti, as is outlined over here, so we learn more. So first is, we go and take shelter of a guru. So now, in the Krishna conscious movement, sometimes there is a situation that actually the guru and disciple should mutually test each other. It is not that the disciple should just, because this guru has so many thousands of disciples, therefore I'll take initiation from this guru. Or because this guru is, everybody praises this guru. And the devotees whom I met, they said, you should take initiation from this guru, I should take initiation from this guru. That's why I should take initiation. No. Actually, the way Srila Prabhupada has explained is, the disciple should test the guru and the guru should test the disciple. Both have to happen. So the first item, Guru Pada Ashraya, is that is actually indicating that the disciple tests the guru and disciple understands, this person is spiritually advanced, this person is following the teachings of Guru of Shastra, is following Srila Prabhupada, and this person can guide me in my spiritual life in a wonderful way. So therefore, I take shelter of the guru. So that means Guru Pada Ashraya indicates that the disciple has tested the guru and has thereby decided, this is the guru I should take. Now by testing, we don't mean that we don't have to consider that I am superior and guru is inferior. That's the idea when I test a teacher to test a student. So we wonder, how can a disciple test a guru? But the idea is that we are entrusting our life. The relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master is the most important relationship that we can ever have. It's more important than even say the relationship between spouses. So it should not be taken sentimentally. We have to think seriously about it. So we evaluate, and then we take shelter of the guru. Then after that, there is that the spiritual master tests the disciple, and in general, that happens by having a period, 1 year, 2 years, whatever, that one has to keep steadily practicing devotional service in the association of devotees, and then the local temple guides, the temple president or the counselor, they recommend that, this devotee is practicing sincerely, so please help him to get initiated. Please initiate him. And then the spiritual master initiates the devotee. So, Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. And then the third item is Vishrambhena Guru Seva. So, now before that, Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. So here Srila Prabhupada quotes another verse from the same Prabuddha, from the Navayogendra section Prabuddha. So, Acharya Mam Vijaniyam Na Avamanyeta Karhichit, Prabhupada quotes. Acharya Mam Vijaniyam. Understand that the spiritual master is as good as Krishna, being non-different from Krishna. And Na Avamanyeta Karhichit. Now, don't disrespect the Guru, don't become envious of the Guru. So here, when we take initiation, we understand that usually Krishna's grace will manifest to me through this spiritual master. And then, further, Prabhupada also quotes the well-known verse, Yasya Deve Para Bhakti. We discussed this verse in our course earlier, that one who has implicit faith in the Guru and Krishna, that to him, the imports of the Vedas are revealed. And then, Vishurambhena Guru Seva. So now the relationship, the disciple has accepted the Guru and the Guru has accepted the disciple. Then what happens is Vishurambhena Guru Seva. Intimately, reverentially, one starts serving the Guru respectfully. So actually, now when we talk about Vishurambhena Guru Seva, what does it mean? It means that one is one should serve. How, what does it mean, Vishrambhena reverence? Actually, the disciple, now the reality of ISKCON is such that, you know, not many devotees may get the opportunity to personally serve the spiritual master. If we get the opportunity, that's wonderful. But even if we don't get that opportunity, we hear from the spiritual master and understand the mood of that spiritual master. Mood is okay. Now, this is some devotees within ISKCON. Now, Srila Prabhupada has given us many definitions of success. And the different disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the different spiritual masters, may take up different aspects of Srila Prabhupada's missions. Some may want to construct temples. Some may want to, you know, build communities. Some may want to establish Varanashram. Some may focus on book distribution. Some may focus on Harinam Sankirtan. So like that, and these are very visible specific activities. But beyond that also, some spiritual master may focus more on devotee care. Some spiritual masters may focus on different things like that. So we have to find out by hearing from the spiritual master what was the spiritual master would like us to do. And of course, if you're fortunate, we can ask the spiritual master and we may get some specific instructions also. Oh, I should act like this, like this, like this. And even if that doesn't happen, what we do get is the general instructions by hearing from the spiritual master. And of course, this also applies. We study Srila Prabhupada's book and understand Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission and serve accordingly. So actually, Srila Prabhupada would very strongly emphasize that all devotees, especially all serious devotees, initiate devotees, should have some responsible, committed service. So that's how our relationship with Krishna will become real and tangible, in the sense that, you know, okay, we are just chanting some rounds and we are reading the books, all this is good. But when we take a service, then we take up ownership of Krishna consciousness moment, in the sense of not that proprietorship, I demand that I have this rights, but rather we take up ownership. Yes, I also have responsibilities. I have responsibilities. This is my moment. We don't remain a guest in is Krishna consciousness. We become a host in Krishna consciousness. What can I, okay, this Krishna, the Krishna conscious society is my home. What can I do? What is my part over here? Maybe I can distribute books. Maybe I can help in deity worship. Maybe I can do preaching, whatever. So we take up ownership. And that is a very serious commitment. And that will be a defining moment in our onward journey towards Krishna. When we no longer remain guests, we expect to be welcomed and to be cared for. But rather, we take up the responsibility. Yes, I have to welcome others and I care for others. Then, sadhu vartmanu vartanam. So, we discuss this, that, you know, we learn from the various saintly people, from the various saintly teachers, and based on that, we practice devotional service steadily. So, sadhu vartmanu vartanam. Now, we may have some local temple authorities. Our temple president may be there, or the local in charge may be there. And sometimes in the past there has been conflict between, say, the local temple authorities and the guru. So the devotees get a little disturbed, you know, confused. You know, should I be serving my spiritual master, or should I be serving the local temple authority? Ideally speaking, both of them should work in cooperation. And there are parallel lines of authority, but ultimately both of them are coming from Krishna and coming from Srila Prabhupada with respect to the Krishna consciousness movement. And both of them are ultimately helping us to come closer to Krishna. So the ideal situation is where the spiritual master and the local temple authority, they cooperate with each other. So we shouldn't think that I should just serve my spiritual master and don't care for my local temple authority. No, we have to adjust according to time, place, circumstance. And we shouldn't think that only I have to serve my spiritual master. No. The Diksha Guru is there and there are Shiksha Gurus. We may learn Krishna consciousness from many other devotees also. And they are also very important in our spiritual life. So we learn from all of them and we move forward. And similarly, as we become more serious in our devotional life, after we have studied Srila Prabhupada's books systematically, then we can also study the previous Acharya's books. By that we will understand the depth and the glory of the Gaudiya Vishnu tradition, and we will also understand the magnificent way in which Srila Prabhupada has presented this Gaudiya tradition to us. So this is all sadhu vartmanu vartanam. And after sadhu vartmanu vartanam, now Srila Prabhupada gives an example of sadhu vartmanu vartanam, is that what kind of sadhus do we accept? We accept those sadhus who are in agreement with our Guru. If there are sadhus who are not in agreement with our Guru, then we don't accept them. And Rupa Goswami only gives the example for this of Buddha. Now Buddha is not just Buddha was a, if we could say at one level he was a renunciate, he was a seer, he was a great great spiritual person, and that's from the object, from even the secular perspective, and from the scriptural perspective, you know that he's the Supreme Lord himself. But what he is teaching is a path that is not according to scripture. So we accept Buddha, but we don't accept the specific teachings that Buddha has given us. So like that, when we say sadhu vartamanu vartanam, we follow the sadhus, but which sadhus? Those sadhus who are actually representing the sampradaya and are in accordance with our guru. And this is one of the main reasons why as devotees we have to be careful about other Vaishnavas. As devotees in ISKCON, we have to be careful while associating with other Vaishnavas and other Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We respect them, but then sometimes their mood may be different from the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Sadhu vartmanu vartanam. And then there is Saddharma Prucha. And Prabhupada just gives a simple one, Naradiya Purana reference. For Saddharma Prucha means one inquires. Okay, what should I do? How should I learn? How should I move forward? Saddharma Prucha. So we ask, how can I make spiritual advancement? And how can I apply? So the Prucha should be Saddharma. You know, it should be, we see in the Mahabharata that, or rather in the Bhagavad Gita, the start is Dhritarashtra is also inquisitive. Kimakurvata Sanjaya, he asks in 1.1. But his inquiry doesn't lead to any change of heart. Now, Arjuna is also inquisitive and he is asking, Pruchhami Tvam Dharma Sammoodha Chetaha. Pruchhami Tvam, I am asking you about Dharma. So what happens at the end of the Bhagavad Gita? Arjuna's heart is transformed. Karishye Vachinam Tava. I'll do what you say. But Dhritarashtra's heart is not transformed. Why? Because Dhritarashtra's inquiry is very superficial. He is inquisitive but not submissive. Now his inquisitiveness is more like a news report, asking for a news report. What happened on the battlefield? But Arjuna's inquiry is much more serious. What is the right path? What should I do in life? He's asking specifically, should I fight or not? But actually Arjuna's question is much deeper. He's asking about Shreyasyan Nishchitam Bruhitanme Shishyaste Ham Shadi Maam Tvam Prapannam. Tell me what is Shreya. So his question actually is much deeper, not just asking about what is going to happen on the battlefield or what he should do in the battlefield. So what is the right path of action, course of action, life itself? So that way we should be inquisitive about Saddharma Prucha, real principles of spiritual life, and by that we will be able to make advancement. Now after that, being prepared to give up everything material for Krishna's satisfaction. So let's look at these over here. So being prepared to give up everything material for Krishna's satisfaction. So this refers to, as we discussed over here, the first five are the Saddharma Prucha. Then there is Yavad Arthanu Vartito. Yavad Arthanu, as much as is needed, we take Vartito, except that much. So let's look at the list. Hari Vasar Sammano. Hari Avasar Sammano. That means what? The occasions of Lord Hari, like Ekadashi, we honor them. And Dhatri Ashwathadi Gauramam, we respect sacred trees. And then, like that, there is a list of items. Sri Krishna Vimukha Sangatyaga, that we give up the association of non-devotees. Shishyadi Ananu Banditvam, we don't accept that this is, don't accept too many disciples and don't build too many temples, read too many books, like that. So we'll discuss each of these one by one. Just looking here at the Sanskrit of these. So let's go back now at the for Krishna we should be ready to give up anything and everything material. So Prabhupada quotes from the Padma Purana over here, based on Rupa Goswami's quote. If we are ready to give up for one who has given up his material sense enjoyment and has accepted the principle of devotional service, the opulence of Vishnu Loka is awaiting. So the idea is that, you know, if our heart is full with material things, then there is no place left for Krishna. So the things which are material, which are occupying and dominating our heart, when we are ready to give them up, then that frees space in our heart, and that allows Krishna to enter and reside over there. And as Krishna reveals all attractiveness to us, he charms our heart more and more. And when our heart is completely attracted to him, then we return back to him. That's why willingness to sacrifice. So for Krishna's sake, so of course what we do is we follow the four regulative principles. And then there are further things which we can do specific according to our conditionings and our needs for our spiritual advancement, that we can decide, okay, I'll give this up. So for example, in Chaturmasya, there is a time when we can give up certain things. We can intensify our devotional service so that we can go closer to Krishna. And then residing in a sacred place. So this will come again also later. We'll discuss about this later in the five items of devotional, in the five potent forms of devotional service. But the idea is that by residing in a sacred place, actually what happens is that we move forward closer to Krishna. So actually that Yavad Arthanu was this one, accepting only what is necessary. So Shri Krishna Artha Akhila Tyaga. So that earlier one was actually giving up things for Krishna. And then the idea is we reside in a holy place. In the holy place there are a lot of spiritual potencies there, because the Lord, many holy places, Lord himself has performed pastimes over there. Some holy places, there are many places where tirthas, which are like places where sacred things have happened. And dhams are not just tirthas, dhams are even greater, more potent. Dhams are not just place where the Lord appeared some time ago and performed a pastime. The dham is a place where the Lord resides forever, and they are even more potent. And along with that also further, there are the great devotees who have performed bhajan over there. And further, when we go in the association of devotees, then it's even more potent. So that way going to the holy places is extremely beneficial. And then accepting only what is necessary. So yavad arthanu, so vartita, that means as devotees we have to live in the material world and we have to act in the material world. But how we should act? We should act in such a way that we don't get too caught up in accumulating too many things. This is similar to we discussed atyahara prayas in the Upadeshamrit. So if our simple living helps us for high thinking, for thinking about Krishna. And he, Prabhupada, gives a reference from the Naradiya Purana for this. And then observing fasting on Ekadashi. So Harivasara Sammanav. So what is the idea of fasting? You know, the purpose of fasting is not self-torture. Oh, you should not eat food. Actually, the purpose of fasting is to redirect our consciousness from material things to Krishna. So when we fast, then the idea is that if we keep our body at the material, if our consciousness at the material level, we'll feel the torment. I've not got any food to eat. And that will trouble us. So rather than just wasting our time and being troubled like that, we chant more, we hear more, and we absorb ourselves in service to Krishna. And that way our consciousness rises. So the holy times like Ekadashi, these are having special spiritual potency. So the devotional service that we do in those times is much more potent in terms of the bhakti is always supremely potent, but at that time further blessings are available, more mercy is available because of that particular sacred occasion. So there are books like Ekadashi Mahatmya, which compilations of the Mahatmyas of various Ekadashis, which describe the glory of Ekadashi from a Karmakanda perspective. And so if you do this Ekadashi, we'll get this. If you do this Ekadashi, we'll get this. So devotees are not interested in that sort of thing primarily. Devotees' interest is primarily in Ekadashi is to do spiritual advancement. So earlier, Rupa Goswami has already talked about how Jnana Karma Adhyanavritam. So we are not doing Ekadashi for Karmakanda purposes. So devotees try to increase their devotional service. So one way of increasing the devotional service, or rather increasing our availability in terms of time and consciousness for devotional service, is by fasting. So our focus should, fasting is one part of Ekadashi Vrata. The other more important part of Ekadashi Vrata for a devotee is to increase devotional service, either to chant more, to read more, to do more seva in different ways. And in that way we can tap the spiritual opportunity that is there. And then offering respect to the banyan tree and sacred trees like that. So the now Prabhupada Prabhupada quotes from Skanda Purana and Tulsi tree, Yamalaka tree, cows, Brahmanas, and all this. So Prabhupada doesn't limit it to banyan tree. Actually, banyan tree is sacred, and that's why one should respect it. That's a way in which. So now, what happens when we respect that which is sacred, that which is connected with Krishna, is through that we make spiritual advancement. Through that, our sinful reactions diminish, and we go closer to Krishna. And then we have discussed elaborately about giving up the company of non-devotees in Upadeshamrita. So we'll skip that over here. There are several references, very heavy references, which you can read about how dangerous non-devotee association can be. Then here Srila Prabhupada actually combines several elements which Rupa Goswami has given into one. Not accepting unfit disciples, constructing many temples, or reading many books. So these three, what is the reason for this? Actually, let's look at this once. Generally, when people become religious in the Vedic culture, we say if a person would become wealthy, if there would be a king. Now, a king would not only construct a big palace for himself, but also the king would construct big temples for the Lord. And that was also a matter of Kshatriya honor. That yes, as a Kshatriya, I have done my dharmic duty and constructed a magnificent temple. In fact, often many temples are made over generations. Many, many kings work generation after generation to build the temple. So it is that sort of dedication sometimes goes far beyond the call of duty. It's because of devotion that they are doing it. They're not obliged, they feel inspired to do it. So building temples is wonderful. We want to have temples to glorify the Lord. But building temples requires a lot of effort. And it involves fundraising, it involves management, it involves dealing with materialistic people to get the money and to get the things done. And that can become a contamination. So according to one's adhikar, according to one's capacity, how much contact with material energy can one withstand? Based on that, one has to choose these things. So if one gets involved in building too many temples, then one gets too money-minded. And that is not very good. So we are building temples to glorify Krishna, not to glorify ourselves. I build so many temples. No, we want to glorify Krishna. And that consciousness, to preserve that consciousness of wanting to glorify Krishna, it's vital that we remember we have adequate time to connect with Krishna through the limbs of devotional service, which directly connect with Krishna, like hearing and chanting. And then not accepting unfit disciples. So now we may wonder over here that here is Rupa Goswami talking about sadhaka or a siddha. You know, we are talking about practicing bhakti, and as sadhakas, you know, just now he talked about, say, taking initiation from a spiritual master, and now he's talking about we ourselves not giving initiation to too many disciples. So who are these instructions directed to? Actually, the point is that every sincere disciple is expected to share Krishna's message with others, and in that sense every disciple is expected to become a guru. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, right from his early days, even 68 only, you know, he's right from the early days, Prabhupada's writing letters, you know, I want all my sons and daughters to become spiritual masters and to make disciples all over the world. So the idea is that this legacy of love which Krishna is giving through the Guru Parampara is not to be frozen, it is to be widely distributed. And every devotee is also expected to do that eventually. But while doing that, the devotee has to be cautious. So this instruction of course may not apply to new devotees. This will apply to seasoned devotees. And Bhaktisarvabhauma Sindhu, we can see, is a comprehensive guide for devotees at all levels. So Prabhupada writes also in the purport that sometimes one may accept a disciple just because that disciple does some favors for the spiritual master at a material level. You know, the disciple gives a big donation. So now, just because a disciple gives a big donation doesn't mean that that disciple is capable, or that person, that just because the person gives a lot of big donation, that doesn't necessarily mean that that person is capable of becoming a disciple. A disciple should have interest in being disciplined, in wanting to make sincere spiritual advancement. So the karmic reactions of the disciple can go to the spiritual master, and if the disciple continues to do sinful activities, then the spiritual master will get those reactions. That's why one has to be very cautious. So in that sense, one should not accept unfit disciples. But Srila Prabhupada also takes that how it's very difficult. In Srila Prabhupada, was it an emergency when he was sharing Krishna consciousness with the world? In terms of, you know, he was very old, 69, 70, when he started off his preaching. He was 69 when he went to America, 70 when he started ISKCON. And then he did not have much time. So that's why he had to, at an emergency level, whoever is interested, often he gave initiation. Sometimes he may have, he gave initiation in the non-conventional ways. You know, he even gave initiation by sending letters. And he did not do fire sacrifices. And all this is, it's an expression of his compassion. Srila Prabhupada even gave sannyas initiation to very young devotees who were only a few years in the movement. So why did he do that? Because at that time it was an emergency. Srila Prabhupada had to create had to make sure that the Krishna consciousness movement had the infrastructure by which it would carry on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's legacy for 10,000 years. So in an emergency, certain things may have to be done. And that's how Srila Prabhupada did it. Srila Prabhupada clarifies that in this purport also. But as ISKCON has become more stabilized now, so now now the spiritual masters are more circumspect. So they check whether the disciple is serious, and they check for 1 year, 2 years, whatever. 1 year is generally the minimum within ISKCON. 1 year, and 16 rounds following four regular principles. And that is an indication of the seriousness of the disciple. So that way, don't accept unfit disciples. And then also don't read too many books. So the idea is that Bahu Shastra Bahu Vakya Chitta Brahma Hai Sadhana Sadhya Sreshta Nahai Nishchai. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita said that if we ultimately, when we study, what is the goal? Sadhana and Sadhya we need to know. Okay, what is the means and what is the goal? But if we read different books, we'll, okay, this book will glorify this, this book will glorify that, this book will glorify that, we'll get completely confused. Now, it's not that the scriptural conclusion of pure devotional service and Krishna's supremacy cannot stand against opposing doctrines. It can. And when there are debates, our Acharya has strongly established the Siddhanta of Bhakti. But we may not be equipped enough to go into all the debates, because every school of thought will have its own proponents, and that proponent will be aggressive, will be intellectually aggressive, even intellectually persuasive, and we can get confused. That's why initially at least we should focus on reading Srila Prabhupada's books and the books that help us to become situated strongly in Prabhupada's teachings. So Prabhupada's followers may also written books, and that's what Srila Prabhupada wanted also. So Srila Prabhupada's followers write his books so that the teachings of Srila Prabhupada become more accessible to people. Accessible and comprehensible, and that way the teachings of the scriptures become more accessible and comprehensible. So not reading too many books means that we should focus ourselves on understanding the Siddhanta that our Acharyas have given us, and then practicing that Siddhanta. And then if we are more intellectually inclined, then after we have become well rooted in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness as given by Srila Prabhupada, then after that foundation has been built, then we will be able to read other books and see what has been taught in those books from a proper Krishna conscious perspective. And other books we can read if we need them for specific services. Some devotees need to do scientific outreach, then they can read scientific books. That's a part of that may be required for their service. Some devotees may be, say, caring for children. They may be a part of a Krishna conscious school. Then if they want to learn more about contemporary systems of education and how Krishna consciousness can also be presented in contemporary ways according to, so that it's acceptable, if you want to get school certified, then they may have to read about contemporary educational modules. They can do that also. So like that, some for our service, we may need to read other books, and we can read cautiously under guidance. And when we read them with a proper understanding. Why am I reading this? To help my service. So that way we don't read too many books and get confused about what is what. And then after that, he talks about straightforwardness in ordinary dealings and equilibrium in loss and gain. So then they don't disrespect the demigods and don't give pain to any living entity. So let's look at these. So vyavhare api akarpanyam. So no duplicity in our vyavahar is worldly dealings. shokadi avashavartita. When this becomes avasha, helpless, overwhelmed by material emotions like lamentation. And anya devan avagya, one doesn't do disrespect of other devatas. And bhutanu anudvegadaita, that one doesn't actually trouble other living entities, other living beings. So let's look at this further. Yeah. So, straightforwardness in ordinary dealings. A devotee should not be dishonest. In our worldly dealings, we are straightforward. It's not that we use our devotion as a license to become immoral. Sometimes, for a higher principle, lower principles may have to be sacrificed. But the important point is that we don't use devotion as a license for being immoral. In general, a devotee should be in sattvaguna. And sattvaguna means truthfulness, straightforwardness. So sometimes, for the sake of devotion, just like Yudhishthira Maharaj, at the request of Krishna, he spoke a lie. When Drona asked him, was Ashwatthama killed? So he actually did not speak a complete lie. He said, yes, Ashwatthama is killed, but not the man, the elephant. And actually an elephant had been killed in the conflict before that by Bhima. And that elephant's name was Ashwatthama. So on special occasions, we may have to speak some things which are not the entirely the accurate truths, but that is special reserved for special occasions. In general, devotee should be straightforward in the dealings. And then, now here it says that don't get overwhelmed by material emotions. A devotee cannot deny material emotions. Arjuna also, we see, when Abhimanyu was killed, he was devastated. But then that did not deviate him from his duty. He recovered and in fact intensified his duty, intensified his service to Krishna on the next day. So, next day of the war in Mahabharata, when he practically wreaked havoc in the Kaurava camp and eventually avenged the death of Abhimanyu by killing Jayadrath. So, we will have, as human beings, we have emotions. And we can't certainly deny those emotions, even if they are material. But we don't become overwhelmed by them. We understand that material things come and material things go. And just like if I'm going in a train journey, then we shouldn't eternalize the material. We shouldn't eternalize the present. Okay, some problem has come, I will deal with it. And it will move forward. This is the train of life. Train moves forward. Some stations are dirty, some stations are clean. So we just pass through the station. We don't get mentally stuck up, oh, that station was so dirty or that station was so clean. We keep moving forward the train. So like that, life sometimes will give us problems. Sometimes it will give us pleasant situations. But we understand that I have to keep moving forward in my service to Krishna. So one doesn't get too overwhelmed by material emotions. And then after that, Anya Devan Avagya. One doesn't disrespect the devatas. Actually, we are meant to, the next item will be that we don't trouble or hurt any living being. And Prabhupada explains both these items, that actually what we should do is we should recognize that the devatas are also exalted for individuals. They are representatives of Krishna. We discussed earlier how Krishna is the prime minister or the king and the devatas are the ministers. So a citizen has to respect the ministers also. But the citizen doesn't confuse the ministers to be the king. So like that, we don't disrespect the devatas, although we don't confuse them to be the supreme lord. So if we go to if we pass by a demigod temple, we can fold our hands and offer respects. And we can pray to the devata for blessing us so that we can advance in devotion. But we don't have to go out of our way to do some vrata for the devatas, because we are doing kevala bhakti. So, but kevala bhakti is not fanatical. Pure devotion doesn't mean that I just deride the devatas. No, we respect them as representatives of Krishna. And similarly, when we have devotion, we understand that all living beings are also parts of Krishna. And we need to respect all living beings. So a devotee doesn't want to hurt anyone unnecessarily. Even sometimes when we are sharing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, sometimes when people have different opinions or people have different lifestyles, then we may say that this person is just a degraded lifestyle. Now he's doing this sinful activity, that sinful activity, that sinful activity. Now yes, sometimes because of the influences of the mode of passion and ignorance, a person may be born and brought up in a culture which is quite degraded. But if you look at Srila Prabhupada's example, Srila Prabhupada was not derisive. Srila Prabhupada was not mocking the hippies. You know, he respected the hippies as the not that he respected their lifestyle, he was strong in pointing out that they needed that. When he spoke the philosophy, he did not mince words. But at the same time, at an individual level, he was warm, he was personal, he was caring. And the hippies saw that Prabhupada cared for us, Prabhupada loved us. And that's how many of them became transformed. So, we shouldn't use our philosophical or moral standards to beat down other people and to deride them. No, we need to respect them. And when we respect them, when they say that we respect them as individuals, as parts of Krishna, then they will become open to hear about Krishna's message. And then that's how they will come closer to Krishna. So this is also a principle of bhakti, that we respect all living beings. Our devotion is not a license for us to become careless. Suppose we are doing kirtan. Now sometimes when devotees are doing kirtan, and they think that I'll go into ecstasy when I'm dancing. And when they're dancing, they just move their hands wide apart. And they are in ecstasy and they are slapping, thak, 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 slapping people around them. You know, that is, their ecstasy is becoming a cause of agony for others. So, you know, that it should not be like that. We should dance gracefully. Gracefully, and we don't have to add actually. We should dance non-violently. Non-violently. So, this is just a gross example. But the point is that we shouldn't make our thing that just because I am a devotee, that gives me a license to become insensitive and disrespectful towards others. No, we respect everyone. So, if you see most of these qualities which are being talked about, they are indicative of the depth of a devotee's Krishna consciousness. A Krishna consciousness doesn't mean just being, okay, Krishna is my Lord. That is true. That consciousness has to be there. But along with that, you know, there is a connection of Krishna with everything. So, how I deal with devatas will also reveal my Krishna consciousness or reveal my lack of Krishna consciousness. If I don't see the devatas' connection with Krishna, that they are also representatives and servants of Krishna, if I don't see all living beings' connection with Krishna, then that means my Krishna consciousness is lacking. So the purpose of all these items is to help us in remembering Krishna. When we respect devatas, we remember Krishna and their connection with Krishna. When we respect other living beings, we remember Krishna and their connection with Krishna. And in this way, all these items enhance our Krishna consciousness. We'll continue discussion of the offenses and the other items in devotional service in our future class. Thank you. Hare Krishna.